Good morning. So this morning we're reading from Joshua chapter 9, verse 1 to 27. And this is now another angle on intelligence, right? We have to be aware that it's not just we who are being intelligent, but there are others who are trying to also be intelligent, and they are trying to use and do things in such a way as to deceive us, to manipulate us, to even use spiritual things against us. And because this goes on, we cannot rely on our own thinking. We cannot rely on our own insights. We cannot rely on our own intelligence. We have to operate at the spiritual level in such a way as to counter whatever it is that they are doing on their sides. Now, there's a lot of good people around, so it doesn't mean everybody's trying to do bad things, but you can't tell. So here we see an example of where we can be manipulated into making really bad decisions and hurting ourselves in the process, right? Right, so we start. The backstory to this is, if you haven't done the previous sessions on Joshua, Joshua's taken the Israelites across the Jordan. They've conquered Jericho, and after a failure on their part to not obey God and not remain pure, they then turned and they did what was right. And in doing what was right, they were then able to conquer Ai. Now, this has frightened this whole area. They know that God is with the Israelites. They've seen it in the way the Red Sea was parted. They'd seen it in the way the Jordan River was parted. They've seen it in the conquer and total destruction of Jericho. They've seen it in the battle now against Ai. And they recognize that they are going to be totally destroyed because they're aware of the prophecies. They're aware of what God said, that all of this land is going to be given to them. And so we see now playing out how this deception starts to work. And bear in mind the way that the enemy has been doing this is gathering intelligence all along. And gathering intelligence from the inside, in other words, how is it that the Israelites think? What is it that they think? How do they operate? How are they bound up? How can we bind them up? That's the question that they ask themselves. And they've done this research. They've gone, they've discovered, they've had people infiltrating, and they now know how Israel works. Using this intelligence that they've now gathered, and bear in mind, people are gathering intelligence about other people through conversations, through all sorts of things, not necessarily for evil or any nefarious reasons, but everyone's gathering intelligence all the time. And of course, artificial intelligence is gathering intelligence all the time. Problem is, they cannot see your heart, right? They can't see your heart. And so every morning you wake up, you should be given a new chance to try and get everything right. But of course, when you gather intelligence, it locks you down in history. And when you're locked down in history, that's not who you are anymore, right? Nevertheless, once the way you work is known, and the way that you can be bound by the different things that you do and say and believe, once that's known, people can now use that. Right? If you are developed into a certain way, and then you recognize, no, you know what, this isn't right. I shouldn't be doing this, that, the next thing, and then you make a change, everybody's intelligence is now misaligned. But if you've been pure before the Lord, your intelligence will remain the same. Your profile will remain the same. And people, when they know that, will try and use that against you. So many times I've seen people in business try to corrupt a Christian by getting them to do the things that they know God says you mustn't do. And then the Christian has to make a decision. Do I stay and then get involved with this darkness that these people are up to? Or do I leave? And sometimes God wants you to stay there and be an absolute thorn in their side, constantly reminding them that actually what they're doing is wrong. And sometimes the Lord is saying, no, you need to step aside. You need to step out. And it's for you to have a look at it, right? Don't get involved and don't hang on to things that look like treasures but are actually poison apples. Right? You don't want that. Have a look carefully. You don't want to be in a relationship with some company or person where they are really getting involved in things that are wrong. Because it's going to draw on you. It's going to cause you to become corrupted. And you don't want that, right? So, remember, other people are always gaining intelligence. But as a child of God, you really don't have to worry about that because God already knows that they are trying to gather intelligence. He already knows how things will play out. And he already has the answer. But the problem is, he has the answer. God will never enforce himself on you. He will never interrupt you and say, oh, but by the way, you haven't thought of this. No, not unless you give him permission. I mean, I've given him permission to stop me and break whatever I'm doing. Because if it's going in the wrong direction, I don't want to carry on wasting my time and my energy and resources on something that God knows is not going to work. So I've said, stop me, break it. A number of times, programming code, everything just crashed or broke or froze and I couldn't get it back. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I was making such a mistake there. And I coded it correctly the second time. That's because I give him permission. He knows at any given moment I'm happy to have everything I've got totally destroyed. Because I can trust him. I know he's got a better plan. Satan wants to make sure that he distracts you so that you never give God permission. Satan wants to make sure that he distracts you so that you don't have enough time to step back and say, I need to talk to the Lord about this. Satan wants to pressurize you with people who are onlooking, waiting, important people sometimes, important phone calls, whatever the case is, a meeting with lots and lots of people. Oh no, now you must make a decision. And you haven't got time then to go and talk to the Lord about it. Now, when you're going to go into a meeting and you know that you've got to make a decision, the way I do it is I say, okay, Lord, this is your meeting. I'll speak when you tell me to speak, and I'll speak what you tell me to speak. Now, it's not me and my agenda. It's not me in agreement with other people. And when people come and lobby with you to try and get you to side with them in a meeting, you need to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you say? Don't give your answer right away. Because that distraction or destabilization or a phone call that you suddenly get before a decision that you have to make, and the phone call is distracting, it's a problem, it's some kind of, remember, Satan orchestrates things from multiple perspectives using multiple demonic activity that's going to cause trouble. Right? So, here's an example of just how things can be used against you. Right? And remember, God can show you what's really going on. He won't show you if you're not forgiving everybody, that he won't do. And he won't show you if you're not going to be working according to what God says. And he won't show you if you don't ask. right, so let's start. Okay, now verse 11. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet, and say unto them, we your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. Right. What was God's instruction to the Israelites when they were to go into this land of corrupted DNA and corrupted practices and real evil worship? He said, you leave none of them alive. You remove the cancer. You don't leave any of the cancer behind. Right? That was the job. And part of that is you cannot make an agreement with any of these people. Because if you make an agreement, you're now bound by that agreement. You can no longer continue with that. And you've got to be careful with all these apps that you're adding to your phone, right? You click I agree. You have no idea what you're agreeing to. Right? It's a good idea to get rid of any app on your phone that you are not absolutely using and needing. And all those apps that you are needing and using, it's a good idea to go and have a look to see what you've agreed with, because if you do not like that agreement, you should not use that app anymore. That might mean trying to find another app that can do similar, or changing altogether what you're doing, because God is then moving you to something else. But he's not going to force you. Right. So, chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Havite, and the Jebusite, heard that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So they figured, well, if we all get together, we'll be able to wipe out Israel. Right. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old, and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry, moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. Remember? They knew that Israel wasn't allowed to make leagues or agreements, same thing, with those that are in that area. Right, but from a far country, that would have been okay. So they gained the intelligence. They then came and they presented this deception, right? And of course, they had all the corroborating evidence to make it look like they did come from a far country. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Notice. To try and get you to drop your guard. People will start to use things like, yes, Jesus is good, and we agree with you on this. That's exactly what they're doing here. Right? Because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that be on Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which at Ashtaroth, Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meat, and say unto them, We your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot, our provision out of our houses, on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is mouldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled, new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men, this is the Israelites, and the men took of their victuals and asked not at the mouth of the Lord. So they now take and they have a look at all this evidence, all this so-called scientific proof that this is actually true, and they do not ask the Lord, who of course knows exactly what's going on. He was anyway outside of time, so he could have told them the exact future. Nobody was asking. Not that God's going to tell you your future. At every decision point, if you ask him, he'll either prompt you with the name of somebody to speak to, or he'll give you some kind of a sense in your spirit that something's wrong, or he'll lead you to a scripture, or he's going to guide you. But if you don't ask him, you're on your own, right? You're on your own. Verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Now made a promise, right? They know, another piece of intelligence that were gathered, right? They know that once an agreement is made with Israel, Israel will not back down from that agreement. They can lie, cheat, steal, and everything, but Israel won't, right? And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they, their neighbors, and they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities, Gibeon, and Chephirah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not. In other words, they didn't attack them, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Right. Now, when you click I agree, you are binding your soul to something. You need to understand what you're doing. You are actually binding your soul to something. It's like a signature, right? And effectively, you're agreeing in the name of Jesus that you will do this. You need to understand that your word is your bond, and God will hold you to it. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. Now you've made your promise. Now you've got to keep your promise. Because if you don't keep your promise, God's wrath is on you. It is intelligent not to make agreements. It is intelligent to talk to the Lord before anything is signed or agreed. It's intelligent to go into meetings or whatever already saying, Lord, show me. Open my eyes to what's really going on here. Lead me, guide me, speak through me, help me. That's intelligence. Carrying on, verse 21. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us? saying, "We far from you, when ye dwell among us. Now therefore, cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water, for the house of my God." In other words, you lied to us. We cannot go against our word, but now you will be slaves for us. Verse 24. And they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do." Notice, they've been given terms now. Joshua has given them terms, basically saying, "We can't destroy you. However, you will now serve our God. You have lied to our God, you will now serve our God." Right? And you're going to do that by becoming slaves to our people. Now, you look at this and you say, that's slavery. Well, look at where it came from. It came out of deception. You see, when you deceive, you will become enslaved to those you deceive. Even if it's a case of, oh, I can't speak to this person anymore, and so I feel like I'm locked out of stuff, or I've agreed to something and now I'm enslaved in a way to it. Right? You become a slave to every agreement. And here, yes, they saved their lives by making this agreement. But they lied to God. And when you lie to God, you are always going to be enslaved in one way, shape, or form. And it won't just affect you. It's going to affect the people that follow you in your generations. People wonder where slavery came from. It came from deception, lies, and then embondment. It was Satan's way of keeping these people with these evil practices and these evil things that they did, keeping them in amongst the Israelites, so that the children growing up would play with the others and they would learn their practices and they would start to turn away from God. Verse 25 again. "And now behold, we in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose." That place was eventually going to be the temple. Now, slavery existed everywhere in that time. The Israelites were slaves to Egypt, so they knew about that, right? Israel didn't want to enslave anybody. But as a consequence of this, they had to make sure that this was very clear, that these were not on equal footing. They had deceived them. They could not apply what the Lord had told them because they had stepped into the wrong relationship. And so again, they never asked the Lord. They didn't say to the Lord, "Lord, what should we do with these people?" They did not ask him. What would he have said? I don't know, quite honestly. But they didn't ask him again. And later on, all those that were spared, because now a precedent was set, right? Precedent of not killing everybody was set. In other words, the precedent, you've got to understand that properly, the precedent of leaving some of the cancer was set. So after this point, it was a case of, so do these people qualify? You know, does this piece of cancer qualify to remain? and he starts splitting hairs. That's how Satan works. He splits hairs. And then you have multiple decisions balanced against multiple decisions. Eventually, you need lawyers because there's just too many decisions that balance against each other. Right? You have to make sure that you take everything to the Lord. You have to make sure that you give him permission to interrupt your day, your work, and everything else you're doing. Because you cannot see, because you cannot see what's going on. You just can't see it. And other people who have gained intelligence about you will use that against you. Artificial intelligence sounds nice, but it has intelligence about you too. And it will use you and the intelligence it has about you to manipulate you in certain ways to be able to do things that it is trying to achieve. No different from what Satan's doing. No different from what the demons are doing. God doesn't work like that because he knows your heart. And he's also outside of time, so he already knows everything. God doesn't manipulate. God doesn't send an angel to go and manipulate you. Satan certainly does. Satan will do these things in this way. Guard the intelligence about you. Be aware other people have intelligence about you that you don't even know they have. Which means that you are walking in a mist. Total lack of knowledge. It's easy for you to be manipulated. You've got to step into the spiritual realm and say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my mind. Show me what it is I need to know in this situation. Lord, I'm bringing this decision to you because I don't know which way to go. Who should I speak to? What is your word saying? These are the things that you need to do. Well, guys, I'm not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about. But God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.